EG officials from the Department of Rural Development, the Office of the AG, our guests. We welcome this meeting. We are aware that our meetings are open for the public. We've got a right to sit in the meeting. And here, what is it that we are discussing is the Proposal Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. Secondly, we are aware that the executive accounts to government and there are various ways of accounting. They can account through the submission of the annual report we are going to consider today. They can account through questions, either oral or written questions. We can make them account by visiting the people that are taking place on the ground. So there are various ways of making the executive accountable. So today we are going to consider, looking at our agenda, that we are going to consider the annual report of the Department of Rural Development and also the performance, the financial performance of the Commission. We are also expected to deal with ITB annual report, but it was realized later that there was some miscommunication, which will be sorted out by our support staff so that at the end they were able to meet with the ITP and consider the annual report. Without a waste of time, Pumla, do you have any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. I've got an apology for Mamu Kaitana. She's still off sick. And I've got the apology for Deputy Mr. Squadra. He will arrive late. I've got a verbal apology from the Deputy Minister's Office, Mr. Mashefa. He's going to bring the apology here in the meeting. I'm informed the Minister is coming.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The agenda is in circulation. Can you just check the agenda and move for the adoption if we agree on the items that are going to be discussed? But I would propose that we defer action 3 to the last item before we close the issue of the minutes. Any other view on the agenda?
Good morning, Chair. I move that we accept the agenda with the light of courage proposed for item 3 to the concentration.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Without the waste of time, we go to the ABIS office that is with RCA. That is also assisting us in performing our oversight function. So we felt that it's necessary for us as a committee to invite them to hear their side, what is their analysis with regards to the performance and financial performance of the department, although we know that we mostly look at the financial performance, the issue of compliance and other issues. But without a waste of time, then I will give them Ms. Dow the opportunity to introduce her delegation and proceed the presentation. Over to you, Ms. Dow. Can you just raise your voice?
My clearly our room has been heard. I've got my name is Jane Finkel. I'm heading the team and I need to meet Jim. Jim is the senior manager. The student is Ben. Ben is the manager on the job. On rural development. Behind them is that
In terms of risk, if you like. We can only increase the earnings Then our next section look at performance information, this is what I just said of your portfolio committee. The fourth one, usefulness and reliability of information, annual performance report. So we will consider whether or not the information and annual performance report at the end also true and target achieved and whether or not and whether or not it was reported in terms of the set criteria by National Trade Bank. What we do not do is we do not provide assurance that the service delivery has been achieved. So we can't provide assurance that the service delivery on the amount of target has actually been achieved. We can well verify the actual targets and the achievements there. Okay, on the report. Okay, report on fair and non-compliance, relevant key expressions. So we will report on compliance with TFA and trading information. So we keep it on the main focus area to look at. Any other enabling legislation that brings the partner of entity into the space. Okay? Then identify the key internal control efficiency to be assessed. We look at the key control efficiencies of the trade. And we've got three main areas to look at. We look at leadership, and we look at financial performance management, and we look at governance. What we do is not to do is we assess the risk of fraud, but we are not responsible for fraud identification and fraud prevention. That is management responsibility. I'm going to hand over to my colleague on the left hand side, Mr. Denny. You want to take it further to the presentation.
I'll be presenting all the outcomes of the portfolio. The overall audit outcome on the first left-hand side is basically the audit outcome for portfolio. It has been very similar between the last 2 years, where the department deep analysis is receiving an unqualified audit opinion with findings, while the analysis shop is receiving a qualified opinion with findings. And then the next graph is relating to the overall assurance level. And the overall assurance level for first and second level is very similar. And they all do provide some assurance with the exception of the internal audit and the audit committee of the department RLAD, which actually provide assurance to the entity. And the key controls, it has been split between leadership, financial performance and governance. And for the leadership, it has been remained unchanged from the prior year to the current year for the whole portfolio, while the performance and financial management and the agriculture main holding account, there was a slight improvement on the key control due to the financial statement that was submitted due from the serial statement, while the Ingo Yaman Transport got a regression on the key control in that area. On the governance side, the department agriculture land holding account indeed got a good governance control structure, while there is some improvement in the handling around trust board. Moving over to the risk area, the first one is relating to the quality of financial statements submitted. The agriculture land holding account submitted financial statement that is free from the dealer misstatement, while the other three, the financial statements submitted require adjustment. The performance information submitted by the Yaman Trust Board is free from material statement, and then the one relating to the department, they identify some material statement that requires adjustment. On supply chain management, each supply chain management process is good, we don't have material findings identified. While in the Yaman Trust Board, there was regular expenditure that was identified on one of the contracts that didn't follow the financial management process. With regards to the financial health, three of the entities and department, TALA and Ingonyama Trust Board, they all have they all need to improve on their debtors collection period, while the deep financial health is of a reasonable assurance. On the HR management, the whole portfolio needs to improve on the HR management process, but there is some DPSA legislation that we identify the data and not standardize it. And then lastly, on the information technology, the department and fees require this improvement on their general controls, while the other two entities just need to improve a little bit on their process on IT-related issues. Moving on to the root causes, the major root causes that was identified that leads to the order outcome is the responses, slow responses by management, key official that appropriate competency, and instability of agency in key position, which will be explained later on in the presentation. And the quality of the submitted financial statement. And the first graph basically is talking about the financial statement that has been submitted to us, and the author's outcome would have been on the 31st of May. And then the second slide basically is relating to the audit outcome after the adjustment has been made by the department after the audit. So basically for the first chart, Arlong has been soliciting a financial statement that is free from material misstatement that doesn't require any material adjustment, and then the other three is required as material adjustment to be corrected. And then the actual outcome after the audit is resulting that the department is an other or receiving financially unqualified senior finding, while in the Melbourne Transport receives a qualification on their financial statement. And then on the annual performance report, both the department and the Melbourne Transport reliable and useful compared with only the department's annual report was useful and reliable in the previous years. But also auditors submitted their information on time and we have been able to do the audit. None of the auditors did not prepare any of their annual performance report. With only these and other performance reports included in the department's annual performance report, therefore we do not separately express an opinion on the performance. With regard to the compliance with the legislation, the first round is relating to quality of the financial statement that was mentioned. The department is in the Yami Transport or have issues on their financial statement, therefore they do not comply with the Australian legislation. With regard to the irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, only the department actually have finding on prevention of unauthorized irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. With regard to the procurement process, only the economic support and material on compliance writing on the pricing management process. Although the department did not have any material non-compliance, it did identify some non-compliance to my orders. With regard to the strategic planning and performances, Indonesian Transport submitted a senior performance report that is used from the material statement, while the department submitted the annual performance report that require adjustment during the audit process. HR and consequent management, all the entities and the department did not have material findings relating to that. However, each finding that needs to be resolved and controls to be improved by entities in the department. On the internal and audit committees, there is no material findings that were reported in the audit report. However, improvement needs to be made by the Indonesian Transport on the internal audit and the audit committees. On unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, overall, on the portfolio, there is an increase in irregular expenditure and an increase in the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the department has implemented 5 million rand year-over-year expenditure, mainly due to non-compliance with supply chain management process and the narrative had policy that they have in place. And then they also need 6 million rand of reserve away from expenditure. Our MPs, we heard a very small amount of British and wasteful expenditure during the current financial year, while in the now such cost incur around 2 million rand irregular expenditure. This is mainly due to non-compliance with one of the contracts that did go through supply chain management process directly. The top three root causes in the recommendation, like I mentioned earlier, one of the root causes of the overall audit outcome was as a result of slow response by management in addressing root causes to our audit outcome. It doesn't actually mean that management did not do anything. However, some of the audit weaknesses or the audit outcome that was identified in the prior year was not correctly identified by management. Hence, the action plan that they put in place is not necessarily addressing the real root cause of those audit findings. So our recommendation is for them to actually identify the correct root causes and deal with their control weaknesses and making sure that action plan to address those control weaknesses is strictly monitored. The other area is key official that is lacking appropriate competency. These are mainly relating to the staff at the regions where shortcomings were identified. For example, they might not be able to up to date on the revised policy within the department and update the new legislation or changes on the teaching legislation. So we recommend that they need to have action plan and resources of the border findings to be communicated to all of them so that they can also take steps to address the issues on the border findings. And then lastly is the vacancy of the key position. Management should make sure that vacancy for key management is the first time of this going forward because it will have an impact on the overall order outcome. With regards to the combined assurance module, management is the first level of the combined assurance module. So that would be the senior management, the assignment officer, and the executive authority. So their role is to make sure that the day-to-day operation is having the necessary control in place, and also providing assurance to the oversight assurance level, the independent assurance level, where the second level is related to National Treasury, internal audit, and audit committees, so that they can actually use the correct information and do their duties properly. And then lastly, the third level of assurance basically is the portfolio committee, the public accounts committee, and the national assurance. The next commitment to address root causes. We have listed all the commitment that has been committed by the minister in the previous year, where on your left hand side, the fee has been addressed by the minister in the 14-15 year, which is relating to internal order structure is fully staff. They also should develop a strategic plan that is while the objective is ideally defined, the risk associated with each of the objectives is defined and controlled throughout the year. And then they did also reduce vacancy rates and reduce some of the key management positions. On the two that is on the yellow are commitment that is in progress, which is relating to developing action plan to address weaknesses in the internal control, and then also implement effective project management in order to make sure that the process followed is proper, so that it won't deteriorate the service delivery. And then lastly, there is a new commitment that has been drafted, which is basically talking about identifying the proper and correct root causes to address all the findings, to making sure that all the control deficiencies are being addressed and the implementation of those action plans is being monitored. the end of the presentation, we will answer questions from the audience.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Ms. Ndang, do you want to add something?
I just want to link the combined assurance model that they need to do on slide 12 to this one on 6, specifically relating to the assurance level assessment that we did on future land 2, to the key control, and also to the risk process. As we have indicated, as auditors, we place reliance on the assurance that is given by management, which is the third level of assurance. And because management will develop policies and procedures, implement them, and make sure that these policies and procedures are working as management intended to. So there needs to be constant monitoring and evaluation to make sure that we're policies and procedures and internal controls are not functioning. Management needs to put satisfaction in place. Now, if you look at the root causes, these are the three top root causes. And the first one is slow response by management. So, which means that management is slow to respond to the findings that are raised by both internal audits and external audits. And I'm pointing out internal audits because if you look at the level of assurance, the picture on top of the root causes there on slide 6. Internal audit is mainly green. So which means in terms of our assessment, the work that internal audit is doing, the level of assurance that internal audit is providing, we can rely on that, on the work that we can rely on the conclusions that they are making when we do the audit. However, if you look at the assurance level for senior management and the account goes outside yellow, which means there's some level of assurance that they give, but not totally, and it's also relating to outcomes. If you look at the overall outcomes on the features that is next, for the first one that is mainly yellow, and we have actually been clarified, which means there is some work that management needs to do, and also relating to the slow responses by management. So if we can get management to actively to monitor actively and make sure that internal controls are functioning as intended, and we can then get full reliance on the level of assurance that management is giving, we will also see an improvement in the key control, which is the third feature on top there. So when you talk about the level, the combined assurance model, look at the features that you need to relate to see exactly what, you need to see the linkage, and then clearly the linkage, because everywhere management is coming up, slow responses, internal controls are functioning as they use, the outcomes are segmented, and therefore we are not taking the level of assurance, the desired level of assurance that we should be taking from management implementation of the assessment.
Virgin?
See on the presentation you can see the green, you want to print it out on the screen, it looks like green is just printed out, so not all yellow, it's actually green. It's just very to look at the printed out presentation.
Okay, especially on the internal audit committee in government.
Thank you very much. Liam, you're welcome.
I've just received the apology from the office of the minister that the minister is going to China. So you'll not be with us today. Colleagues, can you talk through the presentation by the AD, taking some key questions before we proceed to the presentation by the department? Any comments? Or you reserve your comments? Another one over there?
I just want to check for the assessment of the agency's office. Are we making, do you think we're making progress? Are these challenges that we have, are they amountable? And what is it that we need to do to ensure that we reduce the emphasis of the numbers? We went down from 62 to 62 in terms of the point. So where do you read that? Are we going down? Are we improving? Are we stabilizing? Is there something to worry about?
Honorable Sutan, and then Honorable Matata, Honorable Walshuk, Honorable Nsongo, Honorable Matias, the last one, the Honorable Nguyen. Honorable Matela.
Thank you, sir. I will deliberately limit myself to just two or three points, because I think our colleagues will be fighting from the same documents. On the supply chain, the note that was made by the Auditor General that it's a real concern. Can perhaps the department provide us with information as to why the supply chain is performing so poorly? The decision looks lost. I hope I'm not talking outside of this document. Because if one poorly performing supply chain management system, then that tends to affect the whole machinery of a given institution, like a product being given with very limited or incorrect human. It will not be sustained, and the farmer even does. The root causes, as indicated by the presenter, to us this is nothing new, but we going through more or less what we went through previous financial year. Why is there no significant movement to address this root cause? We last year were talking about incompetent staff and so on and so forth. Do you have new people there, or do you have people who are untrainable, or do you have people who are just unwilling to do their work? And if so, what internal punitive measures is the department taking to address it? Because I think this requires some more stringent steps to address. We can't sit with similar reports year in, year out. And lastly, page 9. Why is this that we need intervention there on the item dealing with human resources? Why is it that problem not be addressed? As I said, I'll leave the rest. You know, I don't want to go about the whole thing, because we're all talking of the same thing. Thank you.
Commission.
What is the next step if the department or IT is not compliant? For example, if you send us your recommendation of 2013 and the recommendation of 2014-15, that's similar. Now, what is the next step?
My question, I want to know if this unqualified audit opinion is really the best. If it is so, then I appreciate it. But my concern is with the role of the internal hospital, so this management, because I wanted to know why the country pick up the risk in the internal control before the OSHA general office comes and pick up. I want to know what's going on in the country. We cannot just have this person management. But you partly answered me. But I'm not satisfied because there are things that they should have picked up before the process of this car.
Thank you, Chair. Some of my questions were already asked. I think what I'm personally interested in is the recommendation, the top three courses in written negotiations on that particular slide. I would like to know from the department how these recommendations will be taken up and how they intend dealing with it. I think the rest of the reports, I think it tells us what is happening. I think it's a good report. I'm interested in what's going to be done there. So the three recommendations about reading them again, what's the department intending to do about it and how is it taken on board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me direct the Office of the Director General to slide 6. Slide 6, I think, is the diagram that deals with assurances that they are indicating that in terms of that, the third level, which deals with portfolio committee, assurance level or whatever that they refer to is not yet established. We need to know what they recommend, what are their recommendations, what the portfolio committee is supposed to do to establish the necessary assurance level or mechanism. Secondly, well, I agree with my colleague, the Honorable Fentani, about the risk area there to do something. That means ought to do something about those areas. Financial health, status of the department in that concerning the research. And if the department itself is state of health is a better place, we can expect the lead from the entities such as the Nguyenyama Trust. But when you look at the root costs, this of course should go with the state of with the capacity of the state, particularly with the capacity of the key officials lack appropriate. It has got to do with the capacity of the state. Now the state is based on a source, it's two functions. This is the confirmation of that. The state has a source, its core business. And all of the challenges that have been for this. Auditors don't lie. The state is the federal they are. And they cannot accept those who are in authority can do something. All what they do is recommend, is to diagnose and recommend corrective measures. I would like to ask, because the report more often highlights great concerns about the Nguyenyama transport, and if the recommendations come more often, we need to know what are these areas of great concern, because they are very vital. And then we need to, and this is perhaps a time that the department, as a custodian of the employment staff, they will have to advise us on the need to have an institute like this one. And if there's not, if the time is not appropriate for the review of such a census, because it will appear that the state within the state or the department within the department control huge amount of resources which the state will come for. This is time for review. That's it.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Apologies for being here. Chair, I wish to welcome the report from the Office of the Political General. I want to ask about slide 6, the use of the resources compared with slide 8, the use of the quality of panel performance. The question I wish to ask the chair is, in a way, slide 8 indicates progress in Cuba, specifically with regard to usefulness of the reliability of invoices. Now, one is wondering how that improvement is obtained despite the fact that you indicate the root causes, specifically with regard to the lack of competency of staff, the instability of vacancies in key positions. I'm just a bit confused about that. You are saying because of human resource related matters, which may be issued there. But despite that, the department has indeed made improvements. So I'm a bit confused about that, that contradiction said. And I want to indicate that I think one welcomes the fact that you confirm in your report that the department is continuing between paying all the sales. Honorable Chamberlain has indicated that even the emphasis of matters have been reduced, which also indicates improvement, and one certainly welcomes that. My last question, Chair, relates to I think it is the third slide, the status of the meeting from the minister. I just want to hear your opinion whether the progress that has reflected this meets your expectations, etc., or whether there's more that the minister could do to improve us.
Can we get some responses, although some of the questions were directed to the department, because I was of the opinion that the department is still going to make its presentation. So, I was thinking the questions, comments made by members, some are related to the department. I hope that maybe those ones can be just set aside, the department will respond to them when there's an opportune time to do that. But the Auditor General Office must respond to the questions which were directed to them specifically. I heard Honorable Song saying when they were talking about ICB, that's NGC. I don't know if you've seen ICB with the camera.
No,
that's just for me. That's for me.
I'll ask you to respond
and add to what you said.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all the questions.
Just the very first one, I want to just clarify the portfolio committee on that slide 6, third table. The legislative committee say not to evaluate, not study. Sorry about that. That's unsafe on the so I know the one member had a question regarding the other class strategy. It should be not that it's just not evaluated. The the targets could not be measured, or the achievements could not be measured, and even the achievements and results that stated there is not true. So this year what happened is the audit journal sticking is done by our KPN office. They helped the Endowment Trust prepare proper strategic plans and annual performance plan that is legible in terms of the SMART criteria and consistent consistency and all the different criteria set out by National Treasury Framework of 2007. And when they went to go and audit the liability information, we could also verify all the target and achievement that have been agreed to the supporting documentation. So that slide unspeaks to the annual performance report. If I take it back to your recorders, two recorders, but this is simply related to when you also have the competency management and slow response. Those two recorders actually speak more to the financial statements. They speak to the fact that the government is not resolving the qualification areas on the financial statements, and that's seen in the annual performance report. So that's the way that one brings out to the government. Let's see what else. The question of the commitment time manager. So, the minister managed to address 3 out of 5 commitment made to us in the year. And there's 2 imperatives, and then there's 1 new one. So, you could meet expectations. Difficult to say because what you measure it against, you measure it against other departments or what you measure it against. But I would say the department is making progress and the minister is making progress in these commitments. So for me, I would say that's a good thing that we keep on addressing it because it means that we have got a good relationship and it means that the department is moving forward into their guidance. So I would say that's my personal opinion. One question from the member was, if you look at the recommendations from last year, I think this is more than the same. Also goes hand in hand with the other question, is, do you think the department is making progress? Well, difficult to say, but we have to look at some different things. So, I feel when I started auditing the department in 2011-12, and where the department is now, specifically relating to the performance and the performance report, I would say that made a lot of progress. But made progress in the way they collate and they import information. Because that's what we look at. We look at the way they collate information and they import it to the oversight committees and the reporting structure. So in that sense, I would say the department is really making progress regarding giving you more through level information that you can actually use to make decisions going forward. On the overall side. On the other side is, what we are picking up is that being there for only my 4th year now is, what we are picking up is that some of the matters that we've been asking them to address for a lot of years is still not being addressed. Okay, so that is a concern, but we definitely have a little bit of problem to say that this year we know by now exactly what you need to look out for, and we want to work with them going forward. That's why one of our recommendations says that your staff in the regions are lacking confidence. So we talk about lacking confidence, specifically about information management. So that's what we want to help the department, and we also want to help the department in terms of the way the information gets reported to head office. What we do find, and that's where all the material corrections on financial statements, is mainly that the information the CFO's office or the energy unit receives from the regions is not credible or reliable. It's not sufficient. And the only reason why the department actually got a clean audit or an unqualified audit opinion on the performance information is because internal audit is getting. And what happens is, before the annual performance report is finalized, internal audit actually goes and audits that information. And then they will make corrections. So internal audit is a huge process of information and receiving your agents to actually clean up. So for us, we've identified now that head office is that we need to put
could drill down one level deeper. So that would be another one wanting to work with the department on now and forward for this year. And just to give you an indication, like I mentioned, although the department is responsible for these things, but we feel we've got a responsibility on our side to share that knowledge, to share what we have with them and to help them actually move forward. So that's why we always
and the
based on the recommendations that we have given, we will then well assess whether that is true. But because we still have material attention and interpretation, and it relates to the solution. Now, having said that, I want to move back to performance information. And I'm not sure if members have the annual report in front of them. I do not have the piece number in the annual report. I just want to refer you to the audit report of the audit general coming to the session, which talks to the financial statements. There are two paragraphs there, which is additional method, and hence is not trying to define it. It's similar to the emphasis of method in the financial statements. When emphasis of method paragraph, we are not qualifying the financial statement. However, we are bringing to the attention of the user issues that are disclosed in the financial statement, which we have audited, and in our opinion, we think are fairly stated in the financial statement. Not only, we are saying, be aware of these material things that are disclosed in the financial statement. So, similar to the following information on the additional method, we are saying that these two areas, which we need to bring to your attention members and the users of the financial statement. And these things are the achievement of plan items. So we are saying, in terms of what has been reported in the annual performance report of the department, the department did not achieve its target as planned. So we are bringing that to the attention of the users. That is also in the annual report of the department. The second thing, we are saying there were material adjustments to the achievements that we are discovering in the annual report. So what it means? In terms of the report that they presented to us for audit, when we audited, we found material misstatements and the department adjusted. So after we adjusted, we are comfortable with the achievements that they have reported. And I'm responding to the question that says, if performance information is key and we have reported, how come we are saying there are no issues? So I'm saying there are those two issues which should then relate to the solution. Just to clarify. And again, having said that, remember we are reporting on three areas: the financial, compliance with laws and regulations, and performance information. So in terms of the financial, yes, the department received an unqualified report, but they had material adjustments. So had they not had an opportunity to adjust, they would have been qualified. And similarly, to the public information and also that is information that we have to find. So there is no response. That's making it talk to the outcome.
Any
questions? Let me just talk to the issue of the slow response that we have under the and then I suppose we also talk to the recognition in terms of that the trust which are saying the outcomes of the department things are getting. And I think that in terms of the presentation, the response that Jean has given, it clearly indicates that the outcomes of the department we have. So just slight improvement here and there, and we need to comment the department on it, putting an effort, but because of the rate of the department, this small improvement is not really a big difference. So we need to really move fast so that we can have a big impact in terms of improving the outcome of the department. I hope that I have addressed. But there was also a question in terms of what is the next step in for the documentation, because the outcomes are similar to our years. And as I have said to the AD when we open, our mandate as the AD is to audit and report to Parliament. And that is because we agree. And we are sharing this insight with Parliament so that Parliament can then make recommendations. And also in terms of the duty to report that issue. So, Parliament is then make decisions and instructions based on what we have done. We do not have an to do anything beyond recommendation, evaluation, assessment, which has been very intense, but it is taken, and putting the department by hand and monitoring and evaluating whether the action is centered by taking and giving back to everyone.
Thank you very much, Ms. Madam. Do you want me to put up the Honorable Waters and Honorable Sultan?
See, the difficulty in a meeting like this is if you start getting into the detail, it becomes quite a long conversation. And if you also be too general, then you also depend on the value. I think the reality is, as was pointed out just now, it's not the AG's job to put these things into consideration, value the state to try to provide a framework. And the fact, and I'm also, and I'm not, don't mean this harshly, but you also have to implement the official thing. So it's clearly there are serious issues with internal control and authorized expenditure. I want to know from the department what they're going to do with those recommendations that are made by the department. I mean, there's issues. I would like to have a clear-cut presentation to this committee as to how these issues that have been raised by the AG has been together. So I can go into more detail. There's page 77, unauthorized irregular interest and wasted expenditure, the role of the accounting officer, when you go into internal controls, page 77, 78, the daily and monthly controls that's been referred to. The point I'm making is that there's a systemic problem. That's indicated that now if I hear that there's some improvements here, some improvements there, but the core of the systemic problems are not being addressed, then it doesn't give me hope that next year we're going to get a better report. It doesn't tell me that the department is going to improve its ability to meet its targets. And I can go into lack of the rental income that's not the least of receivable for asking telecom. So there's a lot of detail, a lot of analysis needs done on this as well, but I think the core issue for me is, and I think maybe beyond what the responses are in this meeting, I would actually want to know what is the department doing to sustainably fix what is clearly symptoms of a number of problems. And I think you said a lot of things about the Yama Trust, the role that they, there is an element of, I think the committee has expressed itself. I'm not sure whether they're coming to the party. That's just, again, one of the specifics. There's accountability problem, there's assistance problem, and I would like to see a comprehensive presentation from the department as to how they're going to deal with these recommendations on a permanent basis. And this, I think, more than that, I think this can start from a very important place.
Thank you. Another one, please.
Thank you. I make a most of page 9. Most for the series did not comply with the legislation. Framework to comply with the legislation has methodology to make a sense. Now the first cut in our set. Yeah. Money did not make a recommendation. So whilst we're dealing with the auditor general's report, who would like to know from this assessment what legal steps are being taken against people who are not compliant with the law? Otherwise, there's no point in having laws that have to be compliant with. We would like to know now, not during the course of the department's report. This is what the President General is telling us now. We want to know what the department is doing for people who are not compliant with the South African law. Critical. Item number 5, members of the control management. All this makes intervention. What is being done? We all know that the human resource element in an institution is the most critical. Those are the rights. What is being done if they are not compliant with the law of the country? Because that's just what a crippling effect on the whole decision. That's my question. That's the passing remark. I would expect the DJ to respond to what the department. You said that the ICB,
relies on assistance, needs assistance from the department. Now, I remember perfectly well last year when I put a question to the department as to why the budget for the ITBA increased by about 20 million rand or something like that. And the specific substance response I got from the DG itself was that it was because the department had withdrawn the support staff that had been assisting the ICB. That's the only reason it is for the increase in their budget. Now, a year later, we had a report from the Western General that there are some people from the department who are assisting the ICB. Where are we? Why is that the case? I've raised the response. We got to the DG last year that they have withdrawn their support staff from the ICB. The man is gone. The people are dead. Thank you. Bring it on.
I will grab another moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair President. Chair President, I would urge the panelist members of the committee to listen to you when you have your request, because we have already requested that the department is going to have its own report and then will respond after that. There are issues that were raised by the honorable members. I think well, very correct, Chairperson. It's of no use that you must respond to the Auditor General. They are going to report and we have to protect them. Even Rubu, Honorable World, has talked about systematic challenge of the issues here. Also of that opinion, but because we have already said that the department is going to report. So,
take
that position,
thank you very much.
Well,
I think
the point of order,
Honorable Chairman. Will you make a ruling, will you make that statement, or will you make a
suggestion? I was proposing that we must not mix the issues. Let us interact on the presentation presented by the Auditor General. As the department will be given an opportunity to present their own report. The questions that are related to the department, as on issues raised by the Auditor General, it will be relevant for us to raise it when the department has presented. Because for now, you'll post questions to the Auditor General, post questions to the department, why the department is still going to present it, and the thing will confuse us. So the proposal, but it was never rejected, so I thought that silence means
I accept the point that you made. I think the department will get a chance to respond. I think the purpose of my, maybe I should just make an explanatory that the purpose of my comment was really to keep the heads up. What I would certainly be looking for in such a presentation is very specific recommendations being made. And that's exactly those recommendations that I'll be looking at when that presentation is being done by the department. And I try to underline the seriousness of some of the issues there. But I think it's entirely valid point that was made.
I think the department has also noted the issues as raised. Then why they will be presenting, they have made sure that they incorporate those responses to their presentation, then members will be able to make follow up there. Another one?
Thank you so much. It's a real honor to manage read my mind. But given chance chair, I may just register a comment that we really appreciate the agent for the objectivity to reflect on the department. I mean, very few, it takes people with thick skin to voice a reflection. The ITB, we have to examine him to reflect on the IGBL norm and represent the item mind as the rather favorite task. And here where the AG making such a reflection, it seeks him to reflect across any other sensitive part of any other department that the AG is to do that, and we definitely appreciate it. Just for the Spanish to know, as we come for the visual and the graphic, I think it's what really genius about doing is another people. But this one here is the college of the African themselves, the commissioners, actually to try and do when you present, because you can then be much more definite about what you are saying and what you are not saying and how you are qualifying things. And I just appreciate once again and the look at the issue that you can see the topic might be. They have the details. Not the time of interest like this child, but they have the details, they are definitely what they see, you know. A certain color means this, a certain color means this, you know. It's a great thing. On top of that, there's a similarity. If you have to see a certain color in the graphic, you asking. And this is the national level. I like to say that I do not know what about national. Maybe it's supernatural, international. So, the opportunity here to just support your point here, that one. I think you're breaking the commission. Your point here that we perhaps await the opportunity for the department to respond. I thought I would love to also encourage that after all this, there will still be general debate. And I seem to pick up that the temptation to go into those things and just to share with my colleagues that you must have your own ammunition, any party as you might be, if you begin to go to the debatable issues generally. That's for the relevant point in time. But there's no harm because my colleague already done once explained that a plenary is only 3 minutes through. We might need to take some other minutes here to at least take away some of the... No, thank you very much. Otherwise, I think we appreciate the AG's work very, very much. So, and I'm tempted to even say, at the relevant time, say, through your leadership management, AG should also come and workshop us on PFMA and the Constitution and the role of various people and so on. Because yes, we are in politics, but we don't just politicize everything. Facts are facts. They can't politicize, you know. And I like, let me not go through it. So I'm just saying, they must keep much more time. It's not very fighting your autonomy issues. I know you are very particular about your autonomy, but to workshop up, to say to us, here are the issues. What happened there, risk management, the supply chain, and so forth, you know, what are the issues? We here to really serve the mandators, and we didn't want to be a banana parliament that started up extending the, if you like, in quotes, all the more extension.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Can I propose that we break for 5 minutes, then the department will proceed for the presentation. Can I have the session, please?
Oh, you're going to go there. You're going to go there. Christian. Yes, yes, I'm one of the Thank you very much, colleagues. Can you start with our second session, where I was receiving the presentation from the department. JM, you knew the arrangement is going to do what? Can I then get this opportunity to you? Thank you very much.
Honorable Mr.
Why now? You can proceed, yeah.
First of all, this is chapter, not form. And everybody else gathered here today, just to welcome the invitation. We are here today to present our plans to you in the execution of our task and responsibility. We are here today for you to interrogate us on whether we are on course in relation to our money. We think that out of this exercise, we might leave here being better people to execute our responsibilities in the service of the school of our country. We would look at our department as indicated as machines and unqualified voices for the second year. We refuse to receive audit of performance information which is quite comforting for us. We are very clear that we are not where we are supposed to be. But we must say that even the recent comments of the Office of the NGO are comments that are quite comforting. Critical as they may be in relation to where we are supposed to be and where we are not at the top of the world. We unfortunately have not achieved a significant number of targets in the APP. You will also notice that 99% of our budget has been spent. And so we are here to allow you to make us better people. And without a long political speech, I would request that our officials, led by others, we have already noted the questions that were asked from the issue of the report. In the execution and the report that was given, colleagues would not mind if you think that we want to remind that we have not attended to this and that question. Without further ado, over to you,
Tishi. Thank you.
I thought that probably I would really take a broader approach on behalf of our ministers. I think it's incumbent upon us to actually indicate that we have lots to be here because of the breadth of responsibility that we have to leave the country. So we could work with us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
GM.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Our presentation will be in two parts. The first part of the presentation is going to focus on part B of the annual report, and the focus will mainly on the performance information of each of our five programs. It will be presented by the DG, DG Southgate. Then the second part of the presentation will be focusing on the financial aspects of our annual reports, both in terms of our performance, but also the financial findings. That part of the presentation was led by Rendani Satiki, our Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, Madam.
I think there's a at part B, which is the performance of the departments and board committee. Just know that we are structured in terms of five programs. We consist of part of program one, which is the commission, deals with the ministry, the DGs, office, finance, and corporate support services. And then you go to program two, which is the administration of the actual services. And program three is rural development, program four is the system, program five is land reform. So that's I'll deal with the performance of each of those programs in that particular order. And then we have the request of the committee, we look at employment equity, although if you're going to the annual, in our annual report, give detailed analysis of the human resources of the department, dealing with more than only employment equity. And then we look at the capital project implemented in 2017 with the budget, the risks, and not the other projects, but in terms of budget allocation, and I think it comes from in the presentation. I will also deal with some of the issues raised by the Auditor General as we go through the process, especially with regards to the HR issues and the performance issues. And my colleague, the CFO on my right hand side, will talk about the financial issues and financial management as we go through the presentation. Just also for the sake of, we embarked on a process in the department here, so we have to remind ourselves about where we actually get our mandate from, the origin of it, and making sure that whatever we do in the department is linked to the mandate that we got from the ruling party of government. And then to find out where that link is made within the NDP, and then in terms of the NDSS, we try and make that link. So in our planning, even for 2016 now, and at the end of the DG, we are interested in the people linked within the DG to these three key documents. If you go to the ruling party in the case of 2009, you'll see they talk about rural development, they talk about land reform, agrarian change, season, and that's where the one study comes in. The word decent is incorrect. They talk about decent work and sustainable livelihoods, and they talk about education, time, and health. That's the 2009 manifesto. A lot of those things are typed through in a whole lot of policy documents and discussion forums of the ruling party. Then we go to the NDP. So in terms of rural development, we look at improved land administration, and the NDSS is improved administration. We make sure we make that link. Then we look at land reform, and for the NDP, our NDC is improved food security, NDSS, improved food security, and sustainable land reform. Agrarian change, we look at smallholder farm development, and the NDSS, we look at smallholder produce development. And decent work and sustainable livelihoods, within the NDC, we talk about quality-based services. In the NDSS, we look at increased capacity-based services. And last one, education time and health, the growth of sustainable rural enterprises. That is our contribution to combat to looking at education time and health. And in the NCC, we look at growth of sustainable rural enterprises. And you'll see this is the last one. The department's program are all structured along the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 items listed in the NCC. So after that, we get our mandate and what we actually do. Rural development, improving both economic and social infrastructure in rural South Africa. So we look at our risk programs and the development of infrastructure in rural areas. We look at land reform. And this is on my left hand side, you can see the Chief Land Reform Commissioner. This is she deals with the restitution issues. And then you have our land tenure and redistribution programs that we have going, the programs going in the department that deals with land reform issues. So, we look at acquiring land, and we look at recapitalizing land, and we look at efficiency, and we're especially looking at
management.
And then we look at the creating change and driving social transformation, increasing agricultural production. And so what we're trying to do with planning going forward and looking at other strategic plans is locating everything we do in those three rural contexts of management. These are the, in terms of the annual report, we look at the legislation. This is just some of the legislation that we've passed in 2009 in the department, and some of the policies that have been approved by our ministers and the institutions. We're currently working on five pieces of legislation that will come through this committee in terms of hopefully we'll be able to show it to the people because they all complement and supplement that legislation of policy and a lot of the work that we're currently doing. And in our report to the committee on 41, 42, 43, 44 performance, we'll give you a progress in terms of that. they even request from the committee, just like you said, okay, our support that we provide to the economic health board, the ICD project, or the EFS, if we don't have our own staff working in the ICD, we provide a constant payment to them. But we do add the credit by the committee. And in the course of last year, and some of my staff members in my branch, and some of the finance staff members, and some of the people in other branches go and support them when they need assistance with regard to policy development, so that we make sure that it's aligned to what we do. And in terms of development and public relations, their strategic plans, their ATP, their operational plans, and annual reports, we provide support them. And then, as I indicated, funding is provided mainly to advance its budget to achieve the strategic objectives, which can focus on land administration within the KZN infrastructure department. Okay, so we go over to our non-financial forms of the life programs I indicated. These are where the indicators are located in the various programs in which our DDGs and their branches actually commit to actually doing it. In terms of our performance over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, here we try and cut that so that you can see there's a it's the one graphic we do have on the list, but we will do more graphic as we go forward and copy the AG. Difficult with our analysis information that we talk about, but I'm sure we'll be able to do something. But the important thing that we want to mention is that if you look at the indicators within the ABG, 17 of them have guiding budget line items. And we have a total of 47 in the year that we're going to talk about. If I talk about 24 to 16, there are 47 or 43 indicators, 43 indicators. 17 of them have direct budget line items. So we need to be very careful when we make a comparison between we spend 99% of the budget, but we only achieve 66% of our indicators that we should in the ABG. A lot of the indicators, the budget allocation in other sites, other line items, such as compensation of employees, such as goods and services. And for example, you won't find the rent to pay for the buildings that our offices are occupied in the ATP. Okay, so you must be very careful when you do that kind of comparative analysis. Because, as I indicated, only 17 of the 43 indicators have direct budget management. The rest of the budget expenditure you find in goods and services and compensation of employees. I just did a quick calculation in terms of that, and so you'll find that in maybe 2 or 3 of the programs of the remainder of the budget, you'll see that two-thirds of the budget only are linked to some of the items in the ACT, and not all the ACT items. In terms of program 1 administration, and if I go to that, I'll indicate to you also, this we've got 6 indicators, and only one of them has a direct budget line item. So the investment in your time within goods and services or in the compensation request. For example, if you take the spending of our allocated budget spend, which was 99.9% or 99.4% or 9%, somewhere around there, we did not spend about 59 million rand or 9.2 billion rand budget. So the reason for that was that we had vacant positions that were not timely filled. And the reason for not putting our vacancies was that we restricted our national treasury, which actually required us to go back and reprioritize what stuff we actually hold in financial year. And then to proceed, and that's about a 6 to 8 weeks delay on the filling of the vacancies. And in some projects which did not progress as in the region, there were certain delays finalizing of those projects or progress in not finalizing, because some of the projects are multi-year projects that we actually embarked on. But you'll see, so you look at that particular indicator, there's no direct budget line item. Okay, so that's got to do with the staff members and the compensation of employees. The percentage of budget invoices paid, we paid 92% of our invoices within the 50-day period. Which is an improvement from the previous year, so last year we had 91% of our invoice spend. And I think what we also have asked our energy people to do is just so that we have a indication of the volume of invoices that we have to pass and process on a monthly basis. In the 9 provinces and as a national head office,
They're not a 100 invoices, they're a couple thousand invoices that we process a month that have to be paid. And some of them are huge amounts of money. And so a lot of internal control mechanisms have been put in place by the finance, in provinces, and by the national treasury. So for example, if you process a payment, I think it's about a couple of million times, there's not an automatic transfer in a person's bank account. There are checks and balances that are put in place by the national treasury, so we go through what is our own internal clearance bureau, which is overnight, to make sure that bank details are correct, tax clearance certificates and all those things are correct. So we there's sort of loops you go through. So we will start for 100%, we look at technology in the system so that we can check that the main means are invoice certificates and tax clearance certificates, ex post facto invoices. And the thing that we didn't just say is the bank details of our service providers. The service providers can change their bank details quite often. When we go into the unqualified financial statements, the Auditor General's report that we have, which is an unqualified one, the variance that we had is due to some of the systems controls and budget is taking longer to finalize due to the development process and consultation. And if you look at external audit findings, as well, 92% of them have actually been resolved. And this is where our problem is with some of the internal audit cycles, the external audit findings. The issue of HR came up here in terms of external audit, the ages. Just in terms of me doing a quick observation, looking at our management plans we had in social finances, in 2012, 2013, the AG raised 5 HR findings. In 13-14 there were 4, in 14-15 there were also 4. As you say, those last 3 years, 2 of them were the key findings, and I think both of them have been dealt with in the response that they've been given. The one was waiting for new appointees, where appoint a new person in the department that had to go through the selection process, and nobody gets appointed to the initial process for the vetting process being completed. You may not execute it. So that one's been dealt with. And the other one was vacancy management, which has come through and by the equivalent check for the agency. We managed that as well in terms of the last audit. You'll see as we go through the year, this year we're currently standing at, as of last week, I think 9.72% vacancy rate, which is below 10% based on the check. And the other one, if I look at last year's one, it was one leading but people to win the unit work out and without getting permission, and that one has been dealt with as well. There was acting apportionment, which is the other one that was raised, and vacancy management. So we do have management plans in place to deal with all of them, and we monitor them on a monthly basis, on a monthly basis now. That deals with the HR or the comments raised by the machine early on. Then in terms of human resource development strategy, partially achieved because the consultation process is longer than what I anticipated. The strategy has been completed subsequent, it was in this financial year. And a number of people trained in geomatics, which is the only one within program one that has a direct budgetline item. And outside of your goods and services and as far as compensation employees. And that one is I haven't isolated where we look only at geomatics. But also the entire burden of the department amounts to 4.5 million rand per year. And that's a specific line item in our budget. And the geomatics, just to pause here for a minute, it's been a significant contributor in addressing the shortage of skilled black professionals in the particular field. A few years ago, and currently we still have some of them, we could only find retired white people, and it's not in particular males, that was skilled within geomatics in the country. As a result of a very dedicated literacy program and a HR value chain, that has been turned around where we've actually been putting over 60 people that are qualified in geomatics every year into the market and making them available to both private sector and the public sector in particular. We're talking about developing district municipalities. And these are all skilled black professionals who are registered in the geomatics field of government, so they can actually do work. And so the reliance on retired white males has actually decreased substantially over the last 3 years of the development program. And so, for example, we also have a dedicated nursery program within special development. Further two is the geotation of actual services. The first you find our mapping table. You also find the needs of the system affected within this. And the fourth physical and consumer people, your spatial and language management people located within this. And this is the, I think, the committee well aware of the importance if you want to redress the inequality of land allocation that is inherited. The importance of spatial planning and land use in the country, across the country. So if you look at the performance within this program, the financial allocation to the country, longer than on the skip basis. The percentage of municipalities supported the implement of special plan and land use management act. And this one was overachieved. Again, no diary budget cost. It's got to do with our internal resources, the compensation of employees, students, services, or getting students as we go along there. Then the percentage of municipalities supported the implement of special planning and land use management consumer. You'll find that this is about 20% of land use consumers, the 80% of functional land use regulators. Again, you'll see that it was overachieved in terms of the land use team, in terms of the functional land use regulator achievement are dependent on the finalization of the land use regulation. And as you know, the regulations were published on 23rd March and provincial offices are in this financial year. So at the end of the year, you'll see that the regulations, so you couldn't actually do much with that indicator during the performance cycle. And then the number of provinces supported to develop is the provincial SEF. We've achieved that particular target. Number of domestic facilities that have been surveyed and have been overachieved, and due to the implementation of turnaround strategies, the committee had a call and the end quarter two, who were actually quite embarrassed because we were not performing on target and we had a backlog, I think in the vicinity of 63% with the achievement of the performance in this indicator. The branch in particular, the turnaround strategy in the state, and you can see what the results of that were. It was yourself that severely reprimanded us for the poor performance in this particular case. The number of deeds and documents registered, typical indicator, all the deed offices in the country fall within this. This indicator is also sort of one of the typical indicators in terms of the economy when it comes to house ownership. Because when you procure, when basically you and I purchase a house, you go to the deeds office and you have to register the deeds and transfer into your name. So in the year under review, we had projected that there would be 953,424 deeds registered. Actually, more than that, 961,518 deeds registered across the country by the various deeds offices. In the number of maps, of the national maps we produced, I like to talk to you when you sit on your barbers, your tongues, and all those mappings on your sovereigns. This way, that's located in the department, and these people get a lot of the information from us, and they update that information. The achievement of the indicator depends on the amount of detail on the system was achieved as well. In terms of Program 3, which is rural development, as I indicated earlier, we have initiated facilitate for automating access factors for the implementation of our comprehensive rural development program. And this is where the linkage comes with NDP and the manifesto, which leads to sustainable and vibrant communities. The program covers the rural infrastructure and enterprise development, and this is also where you will find our United States program. The rural livelihood strategy that was approved, again, the partial sheet, the draft enterprise and rural industrial development policy was adopted by our senior management. During that particular process, we, because we work very closely with agriculture, with the DAP department, there was a thing that we need to make sure that the policies are actually aligned, but in more that we do one particular policy and have one drive for this particular indicator. And that consultation taking place at the moment. normal standards for access to rural services, we've had partial treatment with you for the consultation process, which is now going to discuss that in the next one as well. The rural development strategy since 2010 approved was not achieved, the target was not achieved due to the consultation process that we are then not actually having to be very much. We talk about the consultation process taking longer. The development branch has been asking up with this intervention or mitigation plan in place to make sure that they either plan properly so that they project that they will achieve it over maybe a longer period, or that they increase the rate at which they do the consultation with the relevant stakeholders. In terms of number of socio-economic infrastructure projects are ordinated and facilitated, you'll see what higher use to some ICT projects are scheduled for completion in the 2015 financial year, actually in finalized in 2014 to bring those forward, and those ICT projects were completed. In the number of households that will support the basic services infrastructure, again, we achieved to exceed the target. The number of projects implemented in support of our River Valley Capability Program, we exceed the program and was due to more irrigation teams being commissioned in AZN and the Eastern Cape. The number of governments that cut 27 priorities are supported in these two provinces. And so we place emphasis on implementing the River Valley Capability Program to those two provinces. If you look at the AEMT, the Animal Health Management Program, project implemented, you'll see we exceeded the target then. And primarily also because we rolled out a few more within the case and in the province. When we go to the rural enterprise and industrial development strategy that was implemented, not achieved, was due to prolonged consultation process. Again, looking at the program 3, we'll get a lot of integration that has been so that to make sure that the programs don't duplicate matters, and that we also don't duplicate what other government departments is doing. And another level of consultation that is critical is when you go to provinces and ensure that provincial plans are aligned to what national plans are being practices of being developed and your district municipalities. The number of enterprises supported in rural development initiatives and across other sectors like government stakeholders, we overachieved there as well. In terms of number of skill development opportunities provided to support rural initiatives, the overachievement is increased demand for more community experience, in particular in firefighting skills, and training provided raising awareness and interest in the community. So at the moment we embark on a training program in a particular community, the workshop spread, I guess the best advertisement we can get, and then we have an increased request for training to cover. Provided from those communities. The number of skills in rural development initiatives, this is where the AG spoke about the performance material statements in our performance data. We have a problem, although we trained more than the 2,800, 4,822 people were actually trained, young people with skills. The problem is the uploading process that our teachers for the information. So one of the in terms of measuring performance, we have what is known as technical indicator descriptors, commonly referred to as TED documents, which are an extra E to our ATD. In the past, we did not actually structure a reporting, but from now on and forward, we do that and attach it. And we get measured, and this is what the AG does, and internal audit does, and measure our performance strictly according to what is the technical indicator descriptor, which we refer to as a TED document. That descriptor says that you must have a certificate presence to count the person as being skilled. So we had a problem with season or the year under review, and they could not upload and provide us with those certificates by the end of the financial year. So we also had a discrepancy where we claimed the person was trained in August 2014, for example, and the certificate came only in March 2015 or April 2015. And according to our own technical indicators, just a year, the age pointed out to our own form, we said that it must be either in the same month that the person did it. So because it wasn't in the same time, we couldn't actually count 2,000 people who were actually trained. So that's where one of the material misconceptions came in, and the biggest one actually, in terms of our performance information. Between the CFO, we were actually just processing the breaks that we can see far more stringent with technical indicators of structure and the evidence that we're allowed to go through now, so that we tighten the controls formal information. The number of jobs generated in the rural development initiative to exceed the particular target rate. Megacar of that one we did. In process of planning for the megacar, we discovered that there was a maintenance being done in terms of the Co-Option Act legislation. And the amendment actually requires that the newly funded replacement of two operational secondary cars before tertiary cars, which is the one, the megacar, can actually be considered. And so we have to go back to the drawing board in terms of how we're going to go about establishing a megacar, in particular for the Naritech youth, and so that they can collectively benefit from cooperative in the businesses and enterprises they develop in the rural areas. The number of youth skills in national Naritech program is behind the various attributes of the fact that multiple skills train opportunities provided to individual youth, regarded as one thing. And this is the other material misstatement that the AG raised with us. For example, if it was I'm going to training, I would be saying on 3 different courses, and we counted it 3 different opportunities. Our own technical indicators of sugar, in terms of that definition, regarded them as one. So we actually reduced the number quite substantially in a sense that. So we indeed looked at definitions to be our technical indicators of sugar, so that we count it, or we can count all the opportunities we provide. The number of rural enterprises supported, we exceeded the particular indicator there. We are going to go to the restitution program, which is my colleague on the left-hand side, the Chief Land Transmission, and deals with all the land claims in the country, and as we are well aware, that process has been reopened last year. And we do provide the committee with legal feedback concerning that process. The number of land claims settled, the target was exceeded because the focus was on financial compensation terms of the campaign, which would constantly call the successful grant charges. The number of claims that were finalized, we also exceeded the target there. I think this is the one program where we achieved 100% of our targets. The number of, and if I go into, again, I did not mention it in the previous one, we talk about rural development, 9 of the 15 indicators that have direct budget line items. There are 6 of them which do not. And so I'm trying to emphasize this because parallel, and we're doing the search in terms of, and hopefully I'll be able to provide the report to you, that the 100% of the budget spend cannot be logically and immediately linked to the achievement of goals in the entity, because 100% of the budget is not related to all the indicators. There are certain things outside of the budget which are not in the APC and we should spend our money. In terms of execution, only 2 of the indicators have direct budget line items, which is the first 2, I think, which is the number of land settled and the number of finalized that the CLTC can help us in that. It's the number of trade projects that were approved, we exceeded the number of claims lodged by 1998 that we researched, exceeded that, and then the number of government offices that are functional, we achieved the target of the number of land and offices. If I go to Program 5, which is our large program, and this one is split into 2 sub-programs, and they deal with LRD land and distribution and development, and with land tenure and administration. So you'll find within these 2 programs you have our land acquisition and allocation of land to smallholder farmers. This is our recap program also located, and meaning LTA, which is the PTAs and our funded programs that are located. So in terms of the number of hectares acquired, we said that if one required 390,000 hectares, we acquired 354,000. This is also within the program. There are 10 indicators of which 5 are direct land items, 5 land items, and this is one of them. And then the Office of the Value Technical, there's no direct budget line item allocated to the service in concentration of interest in these. The person has the Office of the Value General is not up and running, and the Value General is actually using currently in the process of starting the Office of the Value General. The number of land reform farms recapitalized and surveyed and non-strategic offers due to complexity in the control mechanism is incurred during the application approval process, which resulted in these taking longer than planned actually. And the number of jobs created in land reform projects, we exceeded the target. number of farmers that are not paying to the RWC program. Poor performance has been reduced to most of the employment opportunities experienced in the year, which is not in case of their payment principles generally about planting and publishing. So the focus is on the first one that policy developments within the department and attend to be in this situation. The number of labor payment applications has been settled, also not achieved. New policy developments, we had a circular 1/2010 that impacted on how we dealt with this, and then there'd be no dedicated special deal with labor payment applications, and that the reallocation of resources will have the system in this regard for the resources that are allocated elsewhere. Another land parcel transfer under the ground for legislation, only 6 non-achievement due to community dynamics and the cost of verification against properties and land rights inquiry, and some communities in the development before transfer. I think the committee in the Minister of the Provinces in terms of some of the difficulties we are experiencing when it comes to basically facilitating transfer in the provinces that are affected by the legislation. Then we deal with a number of state land parcels confirmed against it. The underachievement is due to technical uncertainty. But some of the body day reports that we had where the dean dropped, although they're part of us, listed as the drawn the country board, was recovered as one parcel and ruled with that by the dean droppers, and we regarded it as actually more than one, actually a couple of hundred. And in the percentage of completing legal packages, we achieved that in terms of the money. That deals with our performance indicators. The committee also asked us to talk about employment equity and to deal and to just give you a brief. And you'll find it, I think, it's part of the so we are the annual report. We go into detail about the revenue report as it's required by the annual report. We will be able to, in that section, look at our vacancy rates, we look at more detail in terms of promotions, job evaluations. But as the Quick Subcommittee, our workforce profile persons with disability that are included, we have total, for the year, we have 5,798 employees now. You'll see the breakdown in terms of the racial groups, 75% of the target for Africans are male and female. We had 81% in terms of colored, 11% was the target. We had 7% in terms of Indian, 3%, we had 2% in terms of white, 11% the target, and we had 10%. There's a variance in the far right hand column in terms of the various racial groups concerning our profile of employees. The gender perspective, I think, is in the disabilities. Okay. You'll also see in terms of the gender split. We are looking in terms of African, you look at 2,400 females, males, 2,326 females, males, 165 Indians, 750 female males, and the white seat is 213. But in the senior management, we're chasing a target of 50 male, 50 female. We're currently at, I think, 62%, 58% male and 42% female. At the senior management level of the department when it comes to the gender screen. We hope it's all going to have been given instructions by the dean to say that they have to be threatened to the appointment of females in the ranking senior management that we have in the department at this particular stage. And we're hoping to see that target by the end of this performance plan. If not, that is hopefully the first to the gender screen. So with your persons with disabilities, we have the target and directed by the ESA is 2%, and I think we did achieve the target of 2% of persons with disabilities, and we extended that target in the current performance year to 2.5% for persons with disabilities. And if you look at the total number of people who have a disability, it's 101, and then you can look at the gender and the data of the persons with disabilities. We have the current year also embarked upon a program, two initiatives, but the one that needs to take off is that we have dedicated a branch has to dedicate its posts and certain number of posts for only persons with disability. In that, they may not look at able bodied people at all. So we might even bring out a vacancy that is only and restricted to those instances with disability. And then we also want to embark on a program because many people have not disclosed their disability. Double is sort of people feel that in bad or they did not disclose their disabilities. But I think from outside, it's not only the effort in encouraging people to actually come forward and disclose their disabilities in the department. And as we said, we achieved the top 2%, but we want to see that function and we're pushing the 2.5% for the current that is the 2% indicated that we reach at the end of April 20, at the end of March 2015. I've spoken to that one in the chairperson. Organizational concerns and options, I'm sure familiar with our wagon wheel that we promote quite extensively. We embark on a program where we inculcate this into the consciousness of all staff members that are employed by the department, and it should be part of any document that is produced by the department as well. And so we introduce organizational concerns and options to the wagon wheel, and you'll see it more often when we come and do our presentation here. In terms of capacity and ability of the attraction to train employees with electric skills and competencies is negative influence by the pushing defects in our current set of projects in the moment. As such, the department is involved in a number of projects. There's a very limited pool of particular skills, the geomatics are the one. The people with GCS and skills and competencies is another one. Everybody's competing for that limited pool of skilled people. And so the department is one of those as well. So what we do in analysis, the department, by direction of the Minister of Vichy, we're embarking on an organizational structure analysis to determine alignment of the department's strategic and curricular mandate and ensure that the structure is actually aligned to that. And that's the current year. Improve diversity management subject, which makes employees more preserved, and to assess and how they experience diversity issues in the department, and then skill audit in order to develop a talent pipeline to ensure the department has the right people with the right skills executing its mandate, and consistent efforts to reduce the latency rate of four key things within the human resources space that have been driven at the participation of the department to address some of our concerns. The social transformation concerns, the implementation of single system social planning and language management, the basic concepts that are indicated in earlier disjointed and disciplined social planning and language management support as response to various milestones with the social transformation, including the 70% of the movement of funds that we supported to influence Duma and to develop the regulations within all the provincial districts so that they can implement it, and that was in the current financial year to get that particular policy. In terms of revitalization of the rural economy, crucial in terms of a whole lot of policy initiatives, but also just to turn around, I think what is a critical thing to do is influx of things to your metro areas. So we looked at establishment of the Office of the Value General, the 50-50 policy, the strengthening the relative rights of policy plan, the provinces, our river village athletic program, our district land reform committee that has been established, and some crucial bottom land reform, and our agri-pox project that is now running at the subject of the moment, which was extended from 27 to 44 for the district and society. Then, as requested by the committee, our capital project by list, the province, the number of projects for the 2014-15 financial year. The list is available if required, and the amount of 398 million then on 679 capital projects that were implemented in the 2014-15 financial year. And this is again where you just have to be careful in terms of the budget spend and the budget allocation within a 9.2 billion rand budget, you'll look at 398 million then. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you for salutation. Members, presentation has been done on the performance of the department. May I allow the second presentation on the financial performance, or we interact with the first one, then deal with the finances, or we align the two? Alignment, you assess. Can you get your presentation on financial performance?
annual studies that we finish for the department of the two initiatives in agriculture and the agriculture and the I would try to analyze for the financial results we are quite rich so for the executive summary, and this is the how it will flow for both the department and the entity in the annual financial statement and the financial results in the performance and the need changes in the need to set the statement and the case for business, and in the summary is the report of the AG for all the three and the summary at the department level, we managed to spend 9.4 billion of the budget, which is 99.4%. My colleague has already indicated that the 99.4% of the financial spending has not necessarily increased to the 99.4% spending on the ACP, which part two we have done. Quite a rigorous analysis at households, which is the budget where we deliver census, we're sitting at 5.4 billion, which equals to 67% of the social budget. And if you look at the performance itself, we're sitting at 66%. And it's because most the rest of the money is either on your compensation of employees or on your capital assets, which are things like your expenditure with equipment and your goods and services, which is enablement when we are actually delivering services. As of that, we need to just also stress that from the CFO's site, because the ACP non-financial performance is already alluded to that. So you won't necessarily see 100%, 99.4%, 19.4%. But if you look at your the ACP target on the payment of invoices that we do using our own staff. And if you look at the AG report, our creditors days are sitting at 23.3 days, which is even better than the norms, which are 30 days. But because we are looking at it not really applying the accounting formula of determining your creditors days, it looks like it's not achievable. It's at 92%, yet we are sitting at 23.3 days. If you were to do it in the proper accounting way. The greatest contribution on the underspend, which is 0.6% underspend. Was mainly at one development, which is where the enablement of what we do is sitting in goods and services, and it's 5.7 million and 10 million on our goals for projects that do not be finalized. So we know about development ultimately on your head with infrastructure projects, which normally directs over period, and any disturbance in the project implementation has got a ripple effect, because then it means that you normally then tell the project for the following year. We have tried to use that 59 million. Unfortunately, because of the 8% limit of the National Federal Organization, we could not. We really didn't want to surrender that money, but because of the limits that we cannot do barriers above the 8%, we could not use any. The expenditure on goods and services increased by 833 million. One was because we have to reclassify the expenditure on the market because of the feeling that the market sector did not render services to the department, and therefore should not form as they should actually be moved to households instead of goods and services. And we have also implemented cost containment in line with what the Treasury has requested, and the MCC is a 38.2% decrease in goods and services. The executive summary of the financial performance, this is where we try to show how we have spent our money, and you will see the large chunk, which is that blue, the second line, that's where we render our service delivery, which is your household. and then followed by our compensation, which is the lowest one, and then followed by your good and savings, and the rest are these very, very much. Program expenditure with your tax program, and you can see that we only surrendered 5.6 million in this year, we surrendered 59.5 million. And in terms of budget expenditure, you see that a larger portion of what we surrendered, especially in the rural development, for reasons that I've already explained. However, there was one that, due to a whole lot of controls that we had introduced in that respect, it meant that some of the money that we were supposed to spend, we could not spend, because we have now had to open the Kabanchu College, and therefore the spending was not all over, but directed toward the central point. Those meant that we could save some money, and some of that money we shifted to restitution so they can also push their claims. So although we could not spend yet, the money was used in a very productive way. We try to get return on the money that we allocated. And then the statement of financial position is dated March 2015. I think the unfortunate or the poignant part for being in the government is that we are on the modified cash basis. And therefore, not everything that you have as assets will flow into your statement of financial position, which is where you will then be seeking billions in our position. But we only look at modified the cash basis of accounting. In total, the current assets, which is our bank, our debt, and the key payments that we have made, we are seeking 420 million. An increase compared to last year of 230 million. The non-current assets, this is where we've got an investment that is being liquidated. It's just a process that is being delayed, that is going to be finished. What you will see that comparing it to the prior year, it has not really been a movement. And also because we don't sell any of these things, but besides being we are liquidating. Therefore, you see this and you also see it as a damage, meaning that we have engaged the whole of the 60 million because we know it's not going to come through. And the receivables are sitting at 17.8 million. Total assets, 463 million. Our liabilities, which is part of the money that we have to pay back to the National Federal Association, 5 million, and the Departmental Revenue, and NRS National Revenue Fund receives at 25.9 million. The payables, which 80% of this amount is the money that are sitting with our after date for the claimant, such as not we have issued the vouchers, but they have not collected the money, and the aid assistance of 18.4 million, and the social liability is 4.9. Net assets is 24 million, represented by the central reserve, which is the investment in Munara, and the total revenue of 8.5 million, and the social is 24.6 million. In terms of the financial performance, this is where we account for expenditure and our revenue and the capital expenditure, because we are on cash basis, the capital expenditure that moves through into the position. Annual appropriation, which is the allocation we receive from the Treasury, 9.4 billion. There is a small 0.1% decrease compared to prior year, which was 9.459 billion. Department has revenue, it has declined to 87 compared to 104. Aid assistance, 30 is an increase, and total revenue is 9.5 billion. In terms of expenditure, our current expenditure, which is made up of our employees' expenditure, of 1.7 billion, our goods and services at 1.3 billion, which is this, that decrease we were talking about, that we have implemented course cutting measures and the allocation in terms of score of the NARCAD. Interest on land 5.6 million, it has gone down slightly. Most of this is really a court order, so there's nothing much you can do. Because we try as much to control the interest because of the fact that it is a process and wasted. So in terms of this, we have established a financial compliance committee where we take all non-compliance issues in terms of interest if it's due to negligence from our employees, we take them there and the disciplinary process policies. However, most of this is issues and interest is flowing from the court orders that we have received for the restitution. And aid assistance 11 and social currency 3.1 billion. Transfers and subsidies, this is where we render our mandate, is 5.4 billion compared to 5.4, a slight decrease, but following the slight decrease that we see from the allocation in previous page, that our allocation on the budget that we received has declined, so a portion of that would have flowed from here. Expenditure on digital assets, the tangible assets, they have grown from 254 to 793. This does not speak to the actual tangible assets that we have, but the expenditure that we have incurred to acquire in the current year. So we have increased the expenditure on the tangible assets from 254 to 793. And the expenditure, the payment for financial assets, these are the losses, which after we have gone through that process of the investigation and the going to the FCC, and then we realize there is some surplus that are left, we use that to try and then write off some of these. And the total expenditure is 9.4 billion. And the surplus was 165 million. The statement of net assets, it's really just that in the 16 million that are saying that we are going through the investigation process and the recoverable revenue. Which is transfers is 2.4 and debt recovered this year is 2.4, debt raised 5.8 and closing balance is 8.5. The cash flow really speaks to the, how we use the cash at the department, and you will see that at this point from operations they received 9.5 billion. You would assume that when I was talking to financial performance, taking for financial performance, and cash flow from operating activities is 959 million. From investing activities, 793 million. We had cash on hand at the beginning of the year, which was 194. And the movement for this year, which is 168, we had 363 million. This is 663 million. Portion of it is the 59 million that we have already paid back as we see today. And a portion of that is the money that we were committed, but we could not realize the expenditure either because the projects are still running or the invoices have not been paid or part of the payables that we have seen when I was doing the presentation has only closed in the current financial year. We got agent principal, which is the agents of, these are the public entities, so we got the three public entities which we do the allocation when, for the money that is appropriated for the department, the portion that is appropriated for the Nyama Trust Board, which is 17.2 million, and they manage the land for the material benefit and social well-being of the individual for the child. That is in the new day. The registration of gifts, it's a trading account, we give 130 million. A portion of that was to be used, which is about 30 million, to augment the salary for the gifts trading account. Because they do have offices that don't break easy. So for us, because it's the money, we do augment their COE budget, and then the ICARASTRA project The agricultural land holding account, which provides for land assistance, we did 1.6 billion transfer. This is where most of the rest of program 5 land redistribution and development is carried out through the CDHD. Now, these are some of the expenditures that we have to get a implementing agent, which are the agents of the government, to do certain work for us. So we brought it here because it has a direct impact on the financial statements, because in terms of the standards, the MCA standards, we are required to record from this separately. Independent Development Trust, they will do the food security program for us. They comply. We get the 7.3 million. They see that they have used 6.1 at the end of the year. Project was still in progress. The Development Bank of South Africa, they assisted the department with a sustainable development plan for 5 years in the year. And they also asked us to conduct a full due diligence study that aims to regionalize 654 to 110 trillion enterprises. They complied with the use 28.7 million. I must say that all those that didn't use all the money, even those that have used all the money, received the report of what they have done, including the financial statements, because Section 3HG of the DSM required that we must actually make sure that they have an efficient and effective financial system before we can transfer the money to them to be able to render the decision making up on behalf of the department. South African Council of Planners, and we pay for the department membership in the council, which we did, and there was no money. National Agri Marketing Council, we developed the red meat production through the National Red Meat Development. Some of the funds were transferred throughout the year, and that we could not spend that. We gave them 16.7 million and 17.1 million. National World Growers Association of South Africa, they do the genetic improvement of wool sheep coming in the communal area from the SMK. Some of the funds again we gave them for the, and what we are trying to do now is to ensure that we do not transfer money towards the, and although at some point it becomes unavoidable because of the timing of when will the stuff is away, but we are trying to make sure that we actually do the transfer quite early in the year to allow them to try and spend the money within the community. As a business, the sustainable natural plant, the implemented hydroponics project in Sierra Island in the Sukuni municipality, the use of the money. Agricultural Research Council, they also use the money in the training of the agricultural farm professionals, trade of smallholder and stock producers, establishment of fruit and vegetable enterprise in different provinces in South Africa, and changing of fishing Bosmara instead of into Bosmara bush. CSIR, design and development of new digital doorways, upgrading 15 containers, digital doorways, and upgrading connectivity in regions running the iPhone Africa from the show. They did quite a few projects for us. 15 schools rolled out kits connected to core computer business for iPhone Africa program. They spent 21.5 million again. We take some of the money toward here in. These are some of the projects that CSIR did from the department. SRC, they did the policy research on the 1930s and another research spent all the money. Rissenbeck local municipality, they spent all the money on the implementation of the integrated development plan for the community application. Bumalanga Human Training Trust, they also spent all the money on his own bench of the government, houses in Donkerhoek and Jabulan in the Kondo municipality in Kavala Shores. And then on the irregular process of waste school expenditure, I think you think that the age is the project that we actually just increased. But the increase really was due to management because we have come in, I think, about 10 million. And really due to the fact that I think when the intake was changed, there was the other batch which was the bottom line that the department is going to realize, which is that not only the first of the accreditation, and therefore we could not put all the students in there. And quite a number of other reasons that we could not, and it ended up increasing our fruitless and wasteful expenditure and the yellow light expenditure. Fruitless has gone up by 12% to 6.0 million. That is good. I think it's 0.0069%, but it's well below 1%. And same with the irregular expenditure, which is 0.0026. We're not saying in any way that because less than 1% is not the children, because this is the issue that not only relates to the, it also relates to non-compliance, which non-compliance means non-compliance, you don't measure it, it's non-compliance. We have the FCC, I think at year end we could present a file of what has been done to each and every employee who was found to be indigent in terms of ensuring that we correct this going forward. And it's very strict. The FCC is very strict and made up of members from the current competencies. There are issues that are still in progress of being investigated by FCC. We remain committed to eradicating non-compliance with laws and regulations applicable to the department, and the internal control environment is continuously disclosed that won't have the effective distribution to the address in order to improve financial management and the overall efficiency in the operations of the department. We are in the process of improving our standard operating procedures in all the functions of the department, to ensure that we keep this fast. And the summary of the auditor general report is that we were given an advice also opinion as a department. There were matters of emphasis, just like the AGM indicated. These are just that they are significant issues that your attention is brought into this so that you are able to make a good economic decision, but if they were not brought to your attention, it would affect your way of making decisions towards the department. And one is the fact that the restitution claim is 2.1 billion where institution is the department. And they are subject to the outcome of the legal proceedings. No provision for any liability that may result in the need of the Department of Financial Statements. The Department also has a possible liability towards the claims in the restitution.
Yeah. Can you tell us the first figures? That's one of two, 2.1, because you're writing 2.1 million, then you're saying 2.1 billion, which is just...
It's a billion.
Not million.
Yeah, that's how it will actually write them. Yeah? Because if it's a 2, we would have put 2.1, so it's a million. But 2.1 is a billion, but it's a region like that. Correct?
Now, financial terms are confusing us. We're looking at weight there, at the weight, million. I think if it's billion, it's supposed to be, we're looking at 2.1 billion, not million. So I can clarify this financial terms and whatever, with the confusion.
Hey,
can you
please ask me?
million.
I know that the technical thing. We are not financial managers and we are not CFOs. So when to talk to us and use the language and figures that we can understand. Because for me to say 2 points, you know, it's like, oh, it's million, it's not billion. But I can see that it's, those numbers are too much for a million. But at least for my sake as a, you know, an ordinary citizen, it would be nice if you say it's 2,000 million or just 2.1, 2.3 billion. Use this within my language, I'll be able to follow the discussion. But at the same time, I'm then the next time I see that figure, I'll know that that million is a billion.
I appreciate this, that one helps each other. There's no accounting, there's nothing, there's no comma.
Yeah.
The mistake is that some of us read the comma where there was no comma. There's no comma there, and therefore, whichever way you, even non-financial, non-academic, non-work, the same amount, it's 2.123 million, which is equal to 2.1 billion. Billion comes under the 100,000 million. I think Cheryl just clarified that it's fine. Because the only mistake is if one reads the comma or there's no comma, there's no comma. Thank you.
While you are learning, I think the honorable traveling is correct. Because tomorrow we'll talk million while we talk of the billion. We have converted the million into billions and echo. So we need to simplify the language. Can proceed.
Thank you, Shay. I thought we wanted to help you so that when you go to the annual report, you're going to see this is expected as part of the aging. And I go put my billion, then again, but whatever specifies this out and do. And we're just trying to make sure that between the two reports, my presentation and the AG, you should say this. We have made provision of improvement of 60 million. That is the email that I have spoken about when I was doing the presentation on the financial position, putting the financial position, and the 99 million, which is the commission for the inspector.
Commission will continue after the meeting.
Okay.
The commission on finances will continue after the meeting. Honorable Mr. Omo. Continue, sir.
Okay. We have already developed a management action plan to address this matter. It's monitored both at our senior management committee and at our audit committee to ensure that we implement what we say we are going to implement to improve. We remain committed to maintaining the status quo of the unqualified audit premium. And I'm told that there's no longer premium or it is removed, and I strongly welcome that. I hope it's not going to come back, because the 700 series of the salary is not short to premium audit, but unqualified audit. Summary of audit findings, the department got 70 and other 14 distaking. We are in progress in implementing those. I think the second quarter we have made quite good progress in the implementation of Asian land. And then the agricultural land holding account, the statement of financial position in terms of the non-current asset, which is our agricultural land, the intangible assets and the other assets that are there, ex-farm, we were sitting at 3.5 billion. Last year it was 1.4 billion, we have moved to 1.1 billion, or 11%. You would have seen when I was talking about the transfer to ALA, we transferred 1.6 billion to the entity. where this 1.1 billion towards the acquisition and the balance went into recapitalization. And that indicates 11% increase. On the current assets, this is our debtors and the receivables from other non-attributed to exchange transactions and our cash and cash equivalent from receiving 4.1 million. I must say that this is after the impairment of the accounts receivables. You can see an increase of 21%, and mostly it was at our cash and cash equivalent that we had an increase. The total is 11.0 billion, 9.7, compared to 9.7 billion last year. We have gone up 1.3 billion. On the liabilities, we quite liquidly can see we sit with 61 million, which is our trade and other payables, and we have increased by 20 million, very minimal. And if we were to look at our current versus current liabilities, we are over the norm, which is about 2. We can't really use the number because if you look at our current assets, it's 421 million, or current liabilities, actually 61 million. Accumulated surplus is 9.9 billion. We have already obtained the approval for the retention of this surplus, and we can use them to advance the strategic objectives of the entity. And the total is 11 billion. In the financial performance for rental income, we didn't have for this financial year because of the moratorium that we had put when we introduced the new statement in disposal policy that required that there were certain things that we needed to do. So there's no revenue at all that we generated throughout the year. The interest on lease, 90 million, it has gone up by 18%. Other operating income, 18 million, gone up by 35%. Interest, 29, gone up by 55%. So, at a revenue level, except for rental income, we were not dealing with a short steady increase on all of them. Non-exchange transaction, which is the grant income of 1.6 billion, you would have seen that we have gone down 5%. That is just the allocation from the national treasury. And the donations that we receive, normally this is from the farmers where they will donate some of the assets, which we take as revenue. It's 1.5 million. It's gone down from the supply, we will be receiving 1.8 million, 80% decrease, and total revenue is 1.6 million. Expenditure, we've got most of them, your depreciation, your impairments, those are non-cash flows. Depreciation, 14 million, which has gone up. We have acquired some more assets. We have seen that we now are seeing financial position as indicated that the assets have gone up. The impairment, 65, which is much better than 30. So, I think I'm 42 years in reverse, but the impairment is quite huge. We have done an asset verification for the whole country, and we have done the data assessment for the whole country, and we used those results of those verifications to determine the ability of the data to settle the debts that we have. Hence, we see the huge movement of the impairment of assets, which has moved 397%, but that's when we have to come to realistic position in terms of recoverability of the debt, which the AGA also audited. The financial cost is 5, the operating expenditure, this is where we give the money to the farmers as regionalization and development, where the policy requires that they should be treated as data until they bring the proof of what we have done with the money, so that we can write off those debts. And we have paid 651 million percent to that, which is 153% increase compared to prior year. Other operating expenditure, which is 2, which has gone down by 59% and loss on disposal of assets. In total, yes, we were 1052 in extension. Statement of net assets, in 2013 we were at 8.9, we increased in 2014 to 9.6, and this year we are at 10.9. Accumulated surplus. Net assets, 8.9, 9.6, and 10.9. That's because all the reserves that we have is really accumulated surplus, nothing outside that. And the FCC net assets accumulated surplus is in Saudi Arabia. But what we can read from that is that if it was a private entity, they would have been sitting as well with the cash over 10 million, looking at the fact that the entity itself is quite small. Cash flow, your cash from operating activities is 1.4 million compared to 1.1 million. From prior year, from financing investing activities, we're doing quite well, which means that we continue to invest. It started 2015, not 2014, 2014, 2015. We have continued to increase the investment investing activities. And financing activities, which is really just the interest. We don't do any financing activities because we are prohibited to do so by the National Treasury. And the net cash at the end of the year, then we go to the gift trading account. The executive summary is that the entity has generated revenue from the dispersion of goods and sale of information amounting to 522 million, with an increase of 7 million compared to prior year. But in total, the revenue that they have generated, including all the other activities that they do, is 722 million. It's a 19.7% increase to 603 million from prior year, and the surplus for the year amounted to 110 million. Which is an increase of 5 million. We've also, in this one, received the approval to retain the surplus from the National Treasury. The bank, as at the end of the year, we're sitting at 290 million. The statement of financial position, current assets, we are sitting at 355 million, and non-current assets, which is our PPE and intangible assets, there are 292 million, which is an increase compared to prior year, and the biggest increase was on the CPE, which is the dollar that we acquired. In total, I think 643 million, which has gone up compared to prior year, 523 million. Current liabilities, 164 million. Non-current liabilities, 14 on provision, and financial lease of obligations is 903,000. And the total liabilities are 180 million, net assets 487, and again it's made up of the accumulated surplus. On the financial performance, revenue from exchange transactions, those are the things where we give something in exchange of for the money that is paid to us, 567 million, and the other income is 2.7 million in interest, 12 million. The government grant, which a portion of it was meant for infrastructure and a portion of it was for the implementation of salaries, instead of social revenue, 723 million. Expenditure, 611, and based on the details of what we did with that 611 million, a bigger portion of it went into the salaries of employees, defend the balance of cash flow of the liquidation and the impairment and both impairment and the losses and the financial costs. The total revenue was 722 million, that we had the surplus of 110 million. The cash flow statement, cash at the end of the year is 289 million, like I said, we've already gotten approval to change them. The conditional grants that we gave, the Itadastria and the annual salary increase, for Itadastria policy was 19.3 million and 14.9 million for the salary. The regular expenditure, the open balance of 39.8 million and the movement for the year. During the year, the expenditure to the value of 6.9 million was condoned, and we have steps that we followed through this process, which was undertaken. The same agency that operates within the department also operates within the two trading entities. So all the cases are brought into the same committee to deal with them. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we have condoned the opening balance of 20,000. This year the new cases of 7,000, they have already finished dealing with them through the investigation. The only step that's left is to take it to the FCC. Then the service in kind, where the assertion services that the department renders for the deeds that they do not pay for at the office accommodation. In terms of the report of the Auditor General, the court has qualified those opinion. I must say all of us, the department and the two entities, excluding ITB, we all go some qualified those opinion. There is a method of emphasis for significant accession chief, and that's what brought into the attention of the leader. And there were some restatements that we had to do. Material losses, which are impairment and the provision for doubtful debts, and these are the methods of significant uncertainties. Material losses, significant uncertainties, we've got a contingent liability, which is a dispute that we have with the service provider. We have already developed management action plans to deal with the findings of the Auditor General. We still want to continue with unqualified audits. I think before I go to thank you, the other thing that we should just raise is in terms of governance, the MPEG has rated us as 4, level 4, which is the highest. So the department is doing quite well in terms of governance. There are issues that we still need to attend to. But the overall rating of the team of governance is 87% and the level 4, which is quite good for a department of this magnitude. We are quite huge. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO, for the presentation. It's a quiet, long presentation. Members, time is 17 minutes according to my own watch, past one. And it's time for lunch. Can I propose that we just break for lunch? Then we come back. That's a proposal. Another question?
Are we coming back at 4, sir? If so, then we accept the book.
So something is true, no problem. Can we just wait for lunch? So that when we come back, we've got energy and we can get the exact plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can take these stairs to the lift that side, not to the side. That's right.
It's not a good for the